following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast Studio in Schenectady, New York. It's our weekly visit with Union Men's Head Hockey Coach Josh Algie. Josh, welcome back. How are things going?
Good. Good to be working.
Yeah, it's true. And a big series coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's look back. Fifth-seeded Union started its quest for an ECAC hockey tournament title last Saturday by hosting 12th-seeded Brown in the single-elimination opening round game. Union had won the two-game season series by a combined 7-0 and closed the regular season with a 3-0 win at Brown. Of course, it would have been easy for the Garner Chargers to overlook the Bears. What was the message heading into Saturday's matchup?
You know, I think just that we are going to get a team that, you know, we had just beaten, and we could put doubt, you know, in their mind if we, you know, started fast, and that was kind of the goal, is just to maybe, you know, get that first one and really put the pressure on them.
Yeah, it was important for Union to take control of the game, and it started out well. Lucas Buziol takes a shot from the slot. The puck hits a Brown defender and slides by an overcommitted goalie, Tyler Shea, to give Union a 1-0 lead, 8-19 into the game.
They've really had the puck pinned for about 3 minutes. Another big hit is Golub is hit. Union could have a 2-on-1 in the zone. Shot from the slot. It's in! Shea gets a piece and it trickles over the line. Union goes. He went far side on Shea, who committed to the near side post. He got a piece of it, but not enough, and it trickled in.
That was a call from Matt Dubray and Andrew Santillo on ESPN+. Plus. You're going to hear a lot from them in this podcast. A little puck luck for Buziol, but a good start for Union.
Yeah, I thought their goalie in the first period was really good. I think he would probably wish he could have that one back, as he was just off a little bit, and Lucas made a really nice shot, and it was able to trickle in.
Yeah, just got over the goal line. The officials checked to make sure it was completely over, and it was. So, but before we go on to the game, how good was it to have Matt back on the call of the game after he missed the final two home games because of a setback in his cancer recovery?
Yeah, pretty special to, you know, have him back and call the first playoff game at the new barn. So, pretty cool. And obviously for us, he's a big part of our team.
Well, the period ends 1-0. The Garner Chargers dominate the period, outshooting the Bears 23-7. But is there any concern that the score is only 1-0?
I mean, I was pleased with how we were playing, but anytime it's a 1-0 game when you feel like you should be up a little bit more, there's a little bit of cause for concern.
Well, the second period gets going, and with 11:34 left, Parker Lindauer leads a 2-on-1 rush down the right wing. In the season finale at Brown, Lindauer had a breakaway on Shea, but got too tight on the goalie and never got a shot off. But on Saturday, Lindauer made up for that.
Union with another turnover. Here they come. Could be a 2-on-1. Lindauer fires, scores! What a snipe! Parker Lindauer faked it with his eyes. Shea bit
and basically made it look like I'm going to pass this puck, and then was able to beat Shea on the short side here as we get another look at it.
What a great fake.
That was a great shot by Lindauer. I mean, how big was that goal?
Yeah, it was huge because, as you mentioned, after the first year, a little bit worried, and then, you know, it went some time there in the second before we were able to get that second goal, and a great shot by Parker.
Well, the floodgates slowly begin to open. Union gets a power play when Ivan Zadernuk is called for interference at 12:44, and Colby MacArthur makes him pay.
Team shooting, hoping to keep it out with bodies. That one sneaks 5-hole. It's Colby MacArthur on the power play. 3-0 Union. Colby MacArthur, the senior, gets his 11th of the year as he got that one 5-hole on Tyler Shea, and it's 3-0 Union.
Are you starting to feel comfortable at this point?
Yeah, I thought that, like, we were playing, you know, some good hockey and, you know, starting to get rewarded for it. So, I think we felt like we were in a good spot after the third.
Well, 3:14 left. Brandon Burr makes it a 4-goal lead with a shot from the right circle that beat Shea past his right shoulder.
MacArthur to Buehr. Buehr gets around a man. Buehr scores! That was pretty!
All three goals in that period were scored from the right circle. Did you see something there?
It was just kind of part of the scouting report there that Brian McDonald does, our goaltending coach, was just that felt like he left that post a little early, and that just underneath his glove was a spot where we could maybe take advantage of him.
Well, it's 4-0 after two. You have to be feeling good. You're 20 minutes away from a best-of-three quarterfinal matchup with Princeton. What is the message to the team prior to the third period?
Staying on the hunt, keep attacking. We were in a spot that we didn't want to, let our foot off the gas. I thought really focusing on just our habits was really important there in the third.
Well, for all intents and purposes, the game is over 38 seconds into the third when MacArthur gets his second of the game, and I officially declare on social media, hashtag, the route is on.
Union over the blue line. Ruthersbaugh sending it towards the net. Puck is loose. It's in! And just like that, Union makes it 5-0. Ruthersbaugh with the shot. A juicy rebound. Berger with cheese to Colby MacArthur, who gets his second of the game as Shea had to lay himself out to make the initial save. And it is 5-0.
Now it's 5-0. Did you feel at that point the game was over?
I mean, you never feel like it's over until it's over. But I guess felt comfortable about where we're at and just wanted this, again, just make sure we played really good hockey.
Well, Union was not done scoring, and Brown started getting frustrated and taking undisciplined penalties. It led to three straight power play goals. Ben Ruthersbaugh got things going with 8:42 left.
Hanley controls. Dunbar. Out of the box. 5-on-4 now. They score. Squeezes inside the pad. And Ben Ruthersbaugh finally adds his name.
2:05 later, Buziel, who had a potential goal waved off because of a high stick, made it 7-0 on the power play.
Oh my gosh, Buziel on the back door, bangs it home from MacArthur. Buziel.
The fourth line got a chance to play on the power play, and Ethan Benn scored his first goal of the season with 5:10 left.
Back to the end door, score! Ethan Mercedes Benn.
Then with 3:30 left, Riley Bruick became the sixth Garnet Chargers player to hit the double digits in goals with this even strength tally.
Crazy is, didn't Brown have, I think, 20 shots coming into the second period? So Union scores another goal right off the draw. Bruick.
That wrapped up the 9-0 rout of Brown. That was an incredible third period, Josh. Brown had 22 shots on goal in the game. Union had 26 shots on goal in the third period. 59 shots for the game for Union. How pleased were you to see the team not let up in that third period and taking the life out of the Bears?
Yeah, it's a delicate situation there. You want us to continue to play the right way and play hard. You want to make sure everybody gets through the game healthy. And I thought there were some penalties taken that, I thought the refs did a nice job calling. So, try to keep our guys safe and protected. And, then at the same point, you also want to be respectful to the other team and not try to run it up. But at the same point, you got to play to win. So it's
Hey, playoff hockey. You want to put the team away. I don't care if you get 9 goals. That's your team has to stop. And one thing I didn't understand. Tyler Shea made 50 saves in the game, but he should have been pulled. I mean, just for his sanity, at that point you're down 5-6-0. What's the point of keeping him in and having him be facing a shooting gallery?
Yeah, and I think you look at it this season. He played, a lot of minutes against us, and he didn't get any support as far as offensive support. So, I think just kind of giving him his moment and getting him out of there and. He kept him in it as long as he could, but at the end there, it just, I thought we kind of broke their spirit.
Yeah. Well, getting back to Buziel's disallowed goal, the call on the ice was no goal. When the replay of the play was shown on the video board, the standing room only crowd of 24.99 and the bench said, wait a minute, that looked like a good goal. You challenged it but lost the challenge. Did you think it was the right call?
The one thing I know about high sticks is just from started the season meetings with referees is that they said it is one of the hardest things to overturn. So we knew that it was going to be tough for them to overturn it, but felt like just you know, seeing the video we did, that it was worth the chance.
It was almost like the MacArthur disallowed goal in the Yale game, but at that point you had lost your challenge, first challenge already, and if you take a second challenge and lose that, you get a delay game penalty. So, but like you said, I mean, at that point you're well ahead, and just like, why not give it a shot?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're looking to, you know, to end it, and I think another goal, just we felt at that point would have done it, but you know, again, I knew that it was going to be a difficult one for them to overturn.
Well, I have a post-game sound. Here are Brandon Buehr, Lucas Buziol, Colby MacArthur, and Parker Lindauer.
You want to switch?
Okay, let's start with Brandon first. I mean, how important was it to come in here and take control of a 12-seeder Brown? You obviously beat them last week, but you didn't allow a goal all season against them. How important was it to come out and just take control from the get-go?
Yeah, it was important. Like, just show them that they can't really compete with us, and I think we did that pretty well today.
Lucas, I mean, you get the first goal there, but it's 1-0. You get 23 shots in that first period, but it's only 1-0. So what's the mood like? I'm sorry, Lucas. It's all right. Just talk about that. What was the mood like?
Yeah, I mean, we just wanted to have a good start. We talked about that all week, and I thought we accomplished that. And obviously, more and more goals kept coming to follow.
Colby, you had that second period, but how big was that to get to three?
Yeah, it's obviously important to go out second period after a 1-0 first period, and we needed the next goal. We knew that, and obviously we did it.
Parker, you got that goal, make it 2-0, and going to the 2-1. What did you see on there?
It was kind of just our pre-scout throughout the week that we were going to shoot low glove on this kid, and I just shot it there, and it went in.
I mean, last week you had a breakaway against Jay, and I think you got a little too tight and weren't able to get a shot off. So how good was it to get that shot off tonight?
Yeah, I forgot to read the pre-scout before that game. Maybe that's why I missed that one, but I'm happy it went in and happy our team played really well tonight.
Yeah, Brandon, all three goals in that second period came from the right circle. Was there something you guys in the pre-scout saw that you went high side over his six side? So what did you see on yours?
I mean, yeah, Benny was yelling for the puck, and I think the goalie heard that, so he kind of cheated over, and I just was able to shoot a short side there. So, yeah.
We talk about that third period, the way you guys put that game away there. I mean, how big was that to just give Brown no hope whatsoever?
Yeah, obviously we knew that going to the third, like, we still needed to play our game, and we do 5-minute segments, so we can't take any period lightly, even with a lead.
Lucas, you think you got robbed on that no goal?
I don't know. I didn't really do myself any favor by selling it, but whatever.
Brandon, how important will it be to take this effort down to Princeton, best of three, a team that you split the season series with?
I mean, it's super important. I mean, we got to get by this next round here and make our first trip to Placid as a group, so it's going to be pretty important.
Colby, I mean, the atmosphere here tonight, how much fun was it?
Yeah, that was probably one of the most fun games I've had in my Union career. The fans were unbelievable, and even like me and him were next to each other in the starting lineups, and we were just looking at each other like, this is unreal. So we had to put on the performance for sure.
And the score of the 5 goals, and you guys had 26 shots to go in that third period. Brown had 22 for the game. To put the game away the way you guys did, how crucial is that, especially to do it in the postseason, when you really need to put teams away like that and not give them any chance of a comeback?
Yeah, you know, fans love goals, and I think we gave them a lot of goals tonight, and they were obviously happy, and so were we.
Parker, it's very rare for a team to shut out an opposing team 3 times during the season. You guys scored 16-0 this year. You guys have a shutout streak that carried over from last season, 189 minutes now against Brown. What made it so difficult for Brown to score against you guys at Joe?
I think it was just our pre-scout going into the weeks. Like, we looked at them detailed, offensive zone, defensive zone, how we want to play against them, and the plan worked. And obviously our goaltending's huge throughout the week. And I was saying it earlier, like, I'm really glad that we got to play a game this weekend, even though we didn't get a bye, because sometimes sitting at home when you have a bye can hurt you the next weekend. So I'm really happy we played really well tonight and tried carried over to Princeton.
Yeah, it was last year you guys had to bye and lost it, so you got swept by Garvin. So it's good. It's better this way. Maybe you put some fear into Princeton a little bit.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Brandon, just general thoughts. I mean,
What are you going to do against Princeton next week?
Same thing we did today. Score 9 goals.
That's, of course, you got to do that in 2 games instead of 1.
Yeah, true.
Colby, as one of the seniors in the locker room, is there something that you and that group talked about, you know, bringing this squad to like less than you haven't done before? What's the message in that regard heading into Princeton?
Yeah, you know, our goal was to play our best hockey in this time of the year, and I think we've done that in the month of February and obviously tonight, and we're going to continue getting better every day. And yeah, we're not stopping after Placid. We're going to go all the way this year. That's our goal.
Well, Josh, how about the crowd? As I mentioned, there were 2,499 fans in M&T Bank Center. Maybe a few more, but I guess the only thing the fire marshal likes 2,500 or so. But I mean, how exciting was it to have that crowd so fired up? I mean, just really, it was very noisy in there.
Yeah, they were outstanding all night. It was pretty special just from the opening introduction to the last minute of the game and to, you know, the salute there at the end. A lot of fun, a great way to kind of end our home schedule. And you know, for us now, it's just really thankful for everything the fans did this season.
And it was a mention in the previous podcast, the question about the players going around tapping their sticks on the glass, and they did that at the end of the game after the center ice salute.
Yeah, I thought that was a classy move by Parker Lindauer and something we had, you know, talked about.
Maybe he listens to the podcast.
Sure he does.
Well, we'll take a break here. When we return, we'll preview the quarterfinal matchup between Union and Princeton at historically frigid Hobie Baker Rink, and we'll answer questions from our listeners. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Hi, I'm Stan.
And I'm Shen.
And each week we bring you the Stan and Shen Show. And each week we talk about fun things through our travels throughout the capital region. We touch on food, we touch on news, try to touch heavily on good news. And Shen's always available with hot takes.
Yeah, so if you could follow along and listen to us every week on dailygazette.com or on all major streaming platforms, we'd love to have you join us.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott, and I'm joined by Union Med's head hockey coach Josh Halji. So after the big victory over Brown, Union gets to head to Princeton, New Jersey to face the fourth-seeded Tigers in the best-of-three quarterfinals. Game one is Friday, and game two is Saturday, both starting at 7 p.m. If necessary, game three will be Sunday at 4 p.m. Princeton finished 1 point ahead of Union for fourth place in that final first-round bye. It's the seventh postseason meeting between the two schools. Princeton has eliminated Union 4 times, including in the 2023 first-round game, your first season as Union head coach, Josh, and the first year of the single elimination opening round game. Do you like this matchup?
I mean, I think it's two really good hockey teams. You know, you get that 4 or 5 matchup, and, you know, you kind of saw it came down to the last day for who was going to finish in fourth. And, you know, I know they're a good opponent.
Well, I remember you had, I mean, it's sort of similar to what happened with Brown. the end of that season, your first season, you beat Princeton at home to get that eighth seed, and then Princeton comes in and, you know, scores a late third period goal to win that game. What do you remember about that day?
That was a crazy game. One where
You're down 4-1.
Yeah. I thought that we made a really strong push. I thought at times we were the better team, but just, they made one more play than us. So it was a tough one and a really hard one to swallow.
Well, this season the team split their two games, which with each squad winning in the other's rink. Princeton took a 5-1 win at M&T Bank Center on December 5th. The Garnet Chargers got revenge on January 12th at Hobey Baker Rink with a 4-2 victory. Let's start with the actually it was January 10th, not the 12th. I don't know why it's 12th there. Let's start with that 5-1 game. The Tigers jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first period. Colby MacArthur scored a power play goal with 6:27 left in the first. Union had four more power plays against one of the worst penalty kills in the country, but only had four shots on goal the rest of the way. I mean, how costly was that?
Yeah, it was a tough one for us. I thought they were clearly the better team that night. I did not like the way we played, and I really liked the way they played. Like they outworked us, they stayed above us, they frustrated us, and I'm sure that's going to be their game plan, going forward.
Well, in the January rematch, Union is down 2-1 after two, but Brandon Burr and Tyler Dunbar score 1:29 apart early in the third period to give Union the lead. Nate Hanley seals it on an empty netter, and it's a 4-2 victory. I mean, how important was that win, especially coming off a rough 7-2 loss at Quinnipiac the night before?
Yeah, the night before was a long night. We didn't play well. We lost Dunbar early in the game, and Will Felicio was out for some time there. So I thought it was a really big bounce back win for us, and I thought, again, a lot of what we did that night we'll have to do this weekend.
What Princeton players concern you?
I definitely think that when you look at it, you look at Daniels as someone who can score. Gorman really stirs the drink for him. Tyler Rubens are very talented defensemen. Esmond and Manfrey up front are guys that produce for him. So and then obviously Arthur Smith in net.
Yeah, I was going to say he's capable of stealing some games if he's on his game.
Yeah, he's a talented goalie, and he's been really good for him.
How do you eliminate Princeton's home ice edge? What would be the key in that series to winning it?
Well, I think it's the biggest advantage they have there is last change. So I think, we're going to have to really possess the puck and, making sure that, like, on icings we get the matchups we want. And, I think it's just we've won there before. So I think, we know that it's a tough place to play. Things happen really fast, and I think we're prepared for it.
We heard from Parker Lindauer after Saturday's game. He said he's happy with the fact that they actually played Union actually played the that opening round game instead of having the bye. You guys had the bye last year, and unfortunately for you guys, Dartmouth swept that series. Now you've scored 9 goals against Brown. How important will it be to bring that momentum? We're not going to see any 9-0 games in this series, but how important will it be to bring that momentum down to Princeton?
Yeah, I think our guys should have a lot of confidence in just being the team we are right now. We've been playing some good hockey for a while now, and I think it's just all about us continuing that. We can't get frustrated. We gotta just focus in on the way we play and continue doing what we've been doing.
Well, I got a couple of news items to talk about. Let's start with Brandon Burr. On Wednesday afternoon, after he made the ECAC All-EC Hockey third team last season, he was named the All-ECAC Hockey second team on Wednesday. He had Burr had 5 goals and 11 assists in 20 conference games this season, had 4 multi-point performances in conference games, and had a pair of game winners against St. Lawrence and Yale. He was the forward of the week on October 13th. And also was forward of the month for November after he had 10 points in 5 games. He was a runner-up for the 2026 ECAC Hockey Men's Scholar Athlete of the Year Award. Overall this season, Brandon's had 19 goals and 16 assists. He's tied with sophomore Ben Muethersbog for the team leading goals, and is a point behind Muethersbog for the team scoring lead. Just talk about Brandon, the season he's had. You recruited him to go to Clarkson. Didn't work out there, and you got the job here at Union. You recruited him again, and he's really turned out to be a solid player for you.
Yeah, he's kind of been the guy that really gets us going here for a couple years now. can do a lot of different things as far as creating offensively. He plays a really honest, hard game. You know, I think when he's done here, he'll have a chance to sign an NHL contract. At least I think he deserves that. You know, really indebted to him for, you know, not only taking a chance on me once, but then when I left, to not being too mad at me and giving me a second chance and coming here and being a great person for us.
He always seems to be smiling.
Yeah, he's a, you know, just a good person. He's so much fun to be around, and you know, we'll really miss him.
Yeah. The other news item before we start our taping here, New England Hockey Journal writer Mark Diver posted on X on Wednesday afternoon that Providence head coach and former Union head coach Nate Lehman said on his radio show that the Friars will be visiting Union next season. Can you confirm that, and what's the date?
You know, we don't have the contract done, but that it is in place, and it is looking at it'll be the either 16th or 17th of October. It'll just be for one game.
Okay, then you'll go back there in the following season?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. That'll be fun. You know, when Nate came back with that exhibition game, his first appearance at Mesa Rink there since he left after the 2009-2010 season to go to Providence. Have you talked to him about the new rink? Has he seemed to be excited about coming to the new facility?
Yeah, they reached out about wanting to play, and you know, obviously he speaks really fondly of his time here, and I think he likes to get back. So it'll be good for him to come in for, you know, the one game. And I, you know, as we've tried to, you know, continue to build the program, we've wanted to add some, you know, difficult games, and I think this one is another one of just, you know, what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we always like to take questions from our listeners. Kelly Hubicki writes, is there any difference in preparing for a playoff hockey matchup versus a regular season game? How do you help the players keep focus and not let the playoff scenario affect them mentally?
Well, we just talk a lot about just being who they are and playing the way we can. You know, there is more pressure in playoffs, and but at the same point, the game doesn't change. We probably spend a little bit more time making subtle changes just on things we'll do for, you know, for each team, because it is a series here now and you can do some different things. So that does change the game planning a little bit.
Andrew Jarrett has a couple of questions, and he's always firing questions to me. Buziel blocked a shot against Brown and became immobilized as a result. He then threw himself at another shot, which fortunately missed him. Brewer quietly leads the team with a plus 18 plus-minus rating and a 20% shooting percentage. These Killer Bees are Union's top shot-blocking duo among forwards with 23 and 21 blocked shots apiece. Does Buziel have a big welt somewhere? And what accounts for Brewer's plus 18?
You know, those two take a beating as far as how much they sacrifice for the team. They block a ton of shots. They play the right way. And, you know, like, we play them a lot of times against other teams' top line. So it's a challenge for them every night. But they're up to it. And I've been really proud of just what kind of steps they've taken for us offensively.
Union coaches, he says, are very sharp when it comes to real-time assessments of the game on the ice, but they can't always see everything. He wants to know, who is Sean Speck, your eye in the sky? Will he be monitoring from above during the Princeton series? I can answer that question, yes. But yeah. Talk about Sean.
Yeah, so Sean's a Union alum who you know, grew up playing just youth hockey in the area, came to Union, and was actually a soccer player on the soccer team, and but was really involved with the hockey program throughout his time. And then when he graduated, we offered him the position to be our director of hockey operations. You know, he does so much for us. He's such a welcome addition, and he's a really bright hockey mind.
His dad used to be the women's soccer coach, and he also ran the spirit shop there at the Mesa Rink selling the items.
Yeah, he's around from time to time, and always a lot of fun.
Professor Brian Cohen asks, were there lessons that came out of the loss to Princeton in the fall that you applied to help the team beat Princeton later in the season, and how do you think you can apply them to this weekend?
Well, I give Princeton credit for us, like, learning how hard it is to win. They really frustrated us that first game and stayed above us. And, you know, we've learned to try to fight through some of that stuff and, you know, do some different things to try to create more offensively because of it. So, yeah, that game was a long night for us that that game.
Of course, you bounced back the next day and shut out Quinnipiac. So that was a good turnaround there. Jarrett LaCourte is wondering, how is the approach different when you prepare for a best-of-three playoff versus a typical ECAC road weekend?
Yeah, so there's just a lot more time spent on the opposition. So we've watched a ton of video on Princeton. Luckily for us, we were able to, get some stuff clipped last week as we finished up with Brown, having had just played Brown the weekend before, so we didn't have to do as much prep. So, we're able to spend more time, and there'll be changes that are made from game one to game two.
Ryan Fay writes, Nate Hanley is 3 points away from 100 for his career, so a good weekend could get him there. Could Josh talk about the impact Hanley has had on the program and what his legacy with the program will be? Was Hanley one of his first recruits at Union, or one of Bennett's last? And if Nate does hit the 100-point mark, he'll be the first of players to do it since Sebastian Vidmar and Brett Sapinski in 2019.
Yeah, Nate was our second or third player we committed. The first three were Carter Corpy, John Prokop, and Nate Hanley, and in some sort of order. I know Carter was the first to commit. I think when you look at it, Nate's he's been – our best offensive player here through 4 years, as far as just how much he's created for us, his creativity, the way he plays is just, it's so much fun to watch. He does things that are pretty special. He's a character. He's somebody that, really is himself all the time. And I think the team really enjoys having, someone like Nate in the locker room.
Yeah, but he's tough to talk to after games. He doesn't give you a lot.
he's not one from, media. He wants to – I think he's pretty selfless and doesn't want the attention for himself. But, he's one that if I have a – if I got a long car ride, he'd make it interesting. So,
well, you did have to sit him down for one game because he was not playing well, and I think that woke him up.
I think that, Nate responds to that. He's he's got a lot of pride in his game and wants to play the right way. And, from time to time, you have to do that.
Well, thanks, everybody, for the questions. If you have a question for Josh, you can email him to SCHOTT, that's SCHOTT, at dailygazette.com. Or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads at SlapShots. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk after the games this weekend. Hopefully for the Unions, chance to talk, get to Lake Placid.
Yeah, it's exciting, so thank you for everything.
All right, that's Josh Algy. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll talk more about the Union-Princeton matchup. On the Union side, we'll have interviews with Brandon Byrd, Nick Young, Tyler Dunbar, and Parker Lindauer. I'll also speak with Princeton head coach Ben Sire. And Dan Rubin, who covers the ECAC for the USCHO.com, will join me to review the opening round games and preview the four quarterfinal matchups. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.